I gotta be honest with you, I almost didn't happen today. This guy made a couple phone calls and my phone got blocked from the pastor. So we had to get that straightened out. But things happen. Things happen. So I've been putting God's hand on here today. And, you know, as I travel from church to church, I never take it lightly the privilege to represent the Gideon organization. I want to start out by saying what a wonderful church you have here, a beautiful church. I'm not talking about the four walls and a roof. I'm talking about the people. God's church is the people. So as I go from church to church, you know, it's a beautiful ride out here this morning. And I can cross it off my list. I've been to Mount Pleasant Mills. See, as a Gideon, you hear that name a lot. Because this is the hometown of Bob Apple. As a Gideon, Bob does, I can't even imagine how much Bob does. He's a warrior for Christ, to say the least. So it is a privilege to come here to represent the Gideons. It's been many years now since Bob Apple came and actually spoke at my home church. And I was approached three or four times to join the Gideons before I actually joined. But Bob was persistent. We don't always get results immediately, do we? When handing out the New Testaments, I got to watch myself because sometimes I call it the Gideon New Testament. It's God's Word. It's just distributed by the Gideons. So as we're distributing God's Word, you know, sometimes I call it casting seeds. When we're handing out the Bible, we're casting seeds. We're praying. We're praying that every Bible will land on fertile ground, won't it? But sometimes that doesn't always happen. Every year the Gideons distribute Bibles at the Bloomsburg Fair. I'm from the Columbia County camp, and that's one of our biggest events of the year. Last year we handed out 4,600 Bibles. And the amazing thing is, just like when I go to speak at churches at the Bloomsburg Fair, see, you never know who you're going to meet. You never know what the reaction is going to be. You never know where they're from. I've actually talked to people that come from across the country. Their first reaction is they can't believe it's free. Now, I researched it a while ago. Believe it or not, you can go online. Amazon wants like $12 for a New Testament. This is kind of baffled me. They sell them on eBay. I can't believe the people are selling them, but they are free. At the Bloomsburg Fair, we never know who we're going to meet. One year, I work at a university, and one year a group of students, former students of mine, come walking through the educational building. Now, just a little side note, I usually pray for rain when I'm at the fair. Usually at a fair, you don't want to see rain, right? We're inside, so when it rains, people come inside, so I pray for rain. But one year, a group of my former students come through the building, and you know what? They looked at me, and by the same time I saw them, they saw me, and they didn't know quite what to do. They didn't know whether they should pursue forward, make a left-hand turn, maybe take a right turn, but they came forward. And as they got closer, we reminisced a little bit, we talked about some different things, and then I asked them, I said, would you like a New Testament? And the one young man, I have to be honest, I was very pleased with his honesty. He said, I'll take it, but it's going to end up in the trash outside the door. So I appreciate his honesty. I encouraged him to take one and stick it in your pocket for time of need. I especially liked that message this morning in Sunday school when it said, we're living life day by day. You never know what's going to happen. I heard someone say one time, yesterday's history, no one's guaranteed tomorrow. So we need to be ready. But nevertheless, they did not take the New Testament, and they continued on their way. That's where my begins this morning. See, because when I was in high school, there was this bully. He was a big guy. And like those students, when they come down, we were coming down the hallway, you don't know, should I go forward? Should I make a left-hand turn? Should I go around him? But you wanted to avoid him because he was a bully. And he liked to bully people. Well, his thirst for crime grew and grew. He ended up stealing a car. What happens when you steal a car? You go to prison, right? Well, he went to prison, and Gideon's do a ministry in prison. Not only do they hand out New Testaments, but you know where a lot of the Bibles that come out of hotels go? They go into prison ministries. But nevertheless, on his way back to his cell one day, he looks down the trash can. Right there on top of the trash can laid a New Testament. I don't know what caused him. He reached down and pulled it out. But he reached down and pulled that New Testament out and took it back to his cell. He opened it up and just started reading it and reading it. He couldn't put it down. His thirst for crime grew into a thirst for God's word. How do I know this? We became friends when he got released from prison. I met him through a home church. And he started leading others to Christ. He started his own home church. I have to be honest, it was a little awkward when I first reunited with this gentleman. I didn't know what was going to happen. But the Lord works in mysterious ways. So who are the Gideons? I'm here representing Gideons. I'm just one of 250,000 members. We're distributing Bibles in over 200 countries at the rate of 1 million every 5.5 days. That's a lot of Bibles, isn't it? How does that happen? How is that even possible? 1 million every 5.5 days. But it's through churches just like this that make it happen. You could put a sign up front. I heard Bob Apple say this. You could put a sign up front that says we distribute Bibles in over 200 countries in 106 different languages. We also have a Bible app. If you want to download it on your phone, a lot of people now, I go to a men's Bible study once a month, and the pastor's, he's like me, a little older. He's going through his Bible trying to find scriptures. His son just has his phone there. He just hits a couple buttons and a verse comes right up. And you can do it in different translations. It's a wonderful tool to have. I'm not a fan of the internet, but there are some good things out there. So, over 106 different languages. Now, we Gideons are all members of churches just like this one. We all have the same mission, the same goal in mind, is to lead others to Christ. How do we do that? Through God's word. About a month ago, I believe it was maybe 5 weeks ago, we did a Bible Blitz at Bloomsburg University. One question that was brought to me last week when I spoke at a church was, are we allowed on campuses? Sometimes we are, sometimes we aren't. They can't keep us off the sidewalk. So we usually position ourselves in a location, maybe dip around a cafeteria or someplace where it's a very heavily trafficked area. We handed out, I think, almost 900 New Testaments at Bloomsburg University. We've been having a... we usually try and get into hotels about twice a year to check the condition, make sure it's not missing or damaged. But pray, because it's becoming more and more difficult. There are actually hotels that are not permitting Bibles in the hotel rooms anymore for one reason or another. And that's where the Gideons actually began. Two businessmen in 1899, they're traveling salesmen, and they went into different hotels. And that was back before they had TV or anything. So And since 1899, it's grew to what it is today. We're always looking for new members. Next week, we're having our camp meeting, and in May is our membership drive. We try and invite as many new members as we can to join. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. If you're not, you're not prepared to join the Gideons at this time, and like I said, I was approached at least 4 times before I committed. And someone asked me one time, he said, why did you join the Gideons? And it all of a sudden came to me, I said, imagine my life without God's word in it. Imagine your life without God's word in it. And then imagine that you have the opportunity to place God's word in someone's hands. And so it was a no-brainer for me. I heard someone say one time, you need to give God what's right, not what's left over. So if you're not prepared to maybe become a Gideon member, a full member, we do have what we call Friends of the Gideons. Has anyone ever heard of Friends of the Gideons before? Once someone told me one time, the only constant is change. So we're thinking of new ways of distributing God's word. So you could become a friend of the Gideon. That allows you to purchase New Testaments and distribute them. The only difference is it does not have the Gideon insignia on the front of it. Same content, same New Testament, Psalms and Proverbs. If you ever opened up a new one of these New Testaments, in time of need, in the back, so it'll point to certain scriptures if you're going through certain difficulties. Bob Apple likes to call this his spiritual GPS. And it is. It gives you a roadmap in the back. If we tell people, if you don't read anything else in this New Testament, read the last 2 pages. It's a roadmap to heaven to lead people to Christ. I don't know if I like calling it a GPS or not. Because you know what? Sometimes a GPS will take you many different ways, right? There's only one way to heaven. There's one way to God. It's through Jesus Christ. But it is a good analogy. I usually end up getting there. But we don't always know whether it's going to fall on fertile ground or not. So you can become what they call Friends of the Gideons. We have our bulletin inserts. If you're not prepared at this time, or maybe you know someone that would like to donate to the Gideons, there is a self-addressed envelope on the inside. You can fill that out and send it in. It all goes to one fund. We have different camps, but it all goes to international, to one fund. Let me assure you, every penny that's donated goes towards purchase of Bibles. Goes to the purchase of not only New Testaments, which are about $1.85 now. They're just like anything else. Inflation has hit us as well. But just think about it. For the price of a cup of coffee, you could change someone's life. If you were at Starbucks, you might change 2 or 3 lives. But for a price of a cup of coffee, a full Bible, we place them in the hotel rooms. We have large print Bibles that we print in nursing homes, hospitals. We go to doctor's offices. Right now we're focusing on nursing homes in the area. Our church has a food pantry once a month. We're not a food bank, we're a food pantry. So we had to go for training and everything. We're actually focusing on food banks when they distribute food to go distribute Bibles as well. When we first started this, they told us we're allowed to distribute food, but we cannot distribute God's word. In my mind, it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission, I guess. You're out of church, right? But don't tell anybody I said it. We also have our Gideon card rupture, you have a serious infection, what do you get that person? I'm sure he doesn't want flowers. I don't know what foods he's allergic to. Or someone's graduating this time of month, right? I've got a lot of graduates from college, from high schools. What do you get them? I'm poor at making choices, so this is a perfect choice for me. There's different cards. This one here says in recognition of. They are self-addressed on the inside with some more information. And what you're doing, you purchase Bibles in someone's name and you send them the card and say, hey, I purchased X amount of Bibles in your name and distributed them. So it's a win-win situation. So we do have our Gideon card program. Pray for the Gideons. It's becoming more and more difficult to distribute God's word. I have the privilege of going to different churches. You know what the hardest part about speaking for the Gideons is? I want to go back to every one of these churches. I meet new people. I get to spread God's word. I get a connection, and I would love to go back to every one of the churches. But that obviously isn't possible. And sometimes I feel I'm taking more away than what I'm giving because I hear wonderful messages and stuff. So I feel myself growing. And someone called me out one time. He said, what do you mean you feel like you're growing? I'm 65 years old. How can I grow anymore, right? But I feel myself becoming more comfortable with myself. And we don't want to be just a Sunday Christian, right? We don't want to be just a I went to church Christian, right? We need to be a Christian 24/7. We just finished up, remember this morning you mentioned you were doing a Bible study, David Jeremiah, The Great Disappearance. We just finished it up on Sunday night. So it's the one thing we have in common is the fact that unity and one is Christ. I've been the faculty advisor for a Christian fellowship club at the university that I work at for going on 20 years. Just the fact that they allow a Christian fellowship club on campus is an answer to prayer. But the funny thing is, when I go to these college Bible studies, I'm obviously the oldest guy there. But on Wednesday nights when I go to the Bible study at our church, I might be the youngest guy there. But God's word stays the same. You know, someone said one time when you feel God isn't in your life, who moved? God doesn't move. He's always there. So, like I said, I thank and praise you for allowing me to come into your church. It's a beautiful, beautiful community. I grew up working on a farm. I started when I was 9 years old. And I didn't really consider it work. I considered it was a challenge. Who could throw the hay, bale of hay the highest? Who could stack it the highest? I don't even know if they use square bales anymore, but there's not one day, I think, that goes by I don't use something I learned on that farm. Whether it was work ethic, it was my uncle's farm, and he would not allow anyone, we had animals, but he would not allow anybody work on Sundays. I never heard that man curse in my lifetime. He set an example for me and many others. I think everyone within a 10-mile radius probably worked on that farm one time or another. It's the same way with going to church as a young person. So just a quick testimony of my own, and if I run over, just give me a little nod or something. See, growing up, I went to the closest church, and I'm not coming down on any denomination here as a Methodist church. And you know what? I was taught good works in that church. My mother took us to church every Sunday. I never knew my father. He was killed in a car accident when I was 4 years old. but no one ever asked me if I accepted Christ as my Savior. They taught good works. And I grew up, first half of my life, thinking I was saved. I was thinking I knew Jesus Christ. Because I was doing good works. Good works is a byproduct, right? It's what we should be doing. That's our sanctification. And it wasn't until I started going to my present church. Now, I had a daughter later in life. And I always use this story. That's how God saved me. You see, my wife was in a very serious car accident when she was young. And due to certain injuries through the accident, the doctor said, just, you're never going to have children, just forget about it. And after 16 years of marriage, I was down at my brother's house. I have an identical twin brother. And I was down at my brother's house and working on the car. And my wife calls and says, bring home a 5-pound bag of sugar. And by the way, I'm pregnant. So she never got a 5-pound bag of sugar. So I went home and we went and got a second home pregnancy test. And it said she was pregnant. It was like, so there's difficulties that go along with this. We didn't know something else was wrong. But my wife's gynecologist uses my wife as example to all women that can't conceive. Because half of her reproductive organ was actually removed. But it comes with difficulty because about 26 weeks, I believe it was, or 23 weeks, her water broke. And so we went down to Lehigh Valley Hospital. At the time, it's a learning hospital, and no one around this area could do anything like that. And so we went down there, and that's why I said 26 weeks, because they actually did a procedure that held her in for 3 more weeks. And this is where I began to see God's work at hand. This is where God stepped in, because, you see, there was, in the NICU, there was this young doctor. And he had a new procedure called a cerclage, where they went in and they held that baby in for 3 more weeks. Why do I say this is where God stepped in? Because if the senior doctor was there, he was on vacation, he wouldn't have permitted this new procedure. And she might not have been held in for 3 more weeks. That 3 weeks allowed, she was getting hormone shots, allowed her lungs to develop. And then they had to induce labor because you start seeing signs of infection. But she was born 1 pound, 9 ounces. And when my daughter was born, my wife and I looked at each other and said, we have to get serious. We have to get to church. I went to church when I was younger. My wife went to church. She grew up Catholic. You see, we were bouncing around from church to church. We couldn't agree on one until we went to a Bible-preaching church. And that was through my daughter we went there. My daughter was born and said, now we need to get serious about Christ. We need to take our daughter. Friends of ours that had a daughter the same age invited us. So invite people to church. Now, growing up, as she got a little, a year or two older, we started going to vacation Bible school. Vacation Bible school is for kids, right? It's for everyone. Because I was very protective over my daughter. I took her from lesson to lesson to games. I took her. But who else heard the message besides my daughter? I got saved through vacation Bible school. I thought I was saved. But it was through my daughter. And I honestly, to this day, believe God saying, now it's time for you to grow up. So, as one chapter closes, another one opens. So through the birth of my daughter, I became saved. So when we can hand out New Testaments, see, growing up, I never knew my father. I was born on an Air Force base in Del Rio, Texas. And they didn't have ultrasounds and everything back then, especially on an Air Force base. My mother never knew she was having twins. Can you imagine that? But nevertheless, she said that she was taking all us kids and we went to the commissary to get groceries, and she's loading groceries and kids in the car. And this older woman comes over to her and starts yelling at my mother. She said, "How dare you bring a child into this evil world?" And that was 60-some years ago. Imagine if she could see it today. So having the opportunity to go out and distribute God's word is just, for me, it's a blessing. It's an honor. It's a service. Every penny donated, I mentioned, goes towards the purchase of new Bibles. The Gideon organization is funded by membership dues and volunteer work. So everything we do is either paid for through membership dues or volunteer work. We have two faith fund rallies each year. The one in last September, it was just Gideon members that attend faith fund rally. We bring in testimonial speakers. We raised, our goal was $12,000. I think we raised $38,000 towards the purchase of Bibles. So it's a wonderful opportunity. It truly is. So let me pray for this church. Heavenly Father, as we gather here today, Lord, we just thank you for your word. Lord, let it be a lamp unto our path, Lord, a light to our lives. Lord, I just ask for a special blessing upon everyone here today, every family represented here. Lord, I ask for safe travel as they go to and fro. And Lord, there's probably not one of us here that, Lord, doesn't have a time of need. And Lord, help us to look to you first. Lord, help us to reach out to you first, Father. It's usually when I try and do things on my own that I stumble and fall. Lord, we ask for a hedge of protection around this church. Lord, as it goes forward, just help to draw new members, Father. It's not about numbers, but it's about coming to know you, Father. We just thank and praise you for this church. And I thank you for the pastor, Lord, that allowed me to come up here this morning and represent the Gideons and your word, Father, and may your word go forth out of our mouth, Lord, as we read this morning in Isaiah 55:11, Lord, that it will go forth out of our mouth and will not return void, not even from a trash can, Father. Lord, your word can go forth. Lord, I just thank and praise you in the name of all that is Jesus Christ. Amen. I had a friend who goes to our church. He was in the Navy. And just a quick story, well, he was in a submarine. And when you went down in the engine room, you're not allowed to take any reading material. So they would actually check you. But he used to take a Gideon New Testament, roll it up in his sleeves, and it looked like a pack of cigarettes.